show, he just solicited free law advice to anyone in the room. That only applies to this panel, so congratulations to all the felons. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. So next up, man, we got Sarah.
I'm Sarah, alcoholic. It's always nerve-wracking to share. Thanks for your share. Okay, professionals in sobriety. It's funny, because when I got sober, this was probably the last panel that I ever thought that I would be speaking on. I got sober Christmas Eve of 1997. I was 18 years old, and I was just a hot mess. I graduated high school with a 2.3 GPA. I had a problem with showing up to class and getting high with the security guards. And that was just the life that I knew. And when I got here, you guys taught me how to show up, and you guys taught me how to sit through an hour-long meeting. We didn't have cell phones back then, so we were less distracted. And I remember my first journey with going to school was I knew that waiting tables and being a kennel assistant scooping shit was not going to get me anywhere. But I was terrified to go to school because I thought that I was such a failure in high school. I thought that I was incapable of going to school. I thought that I was incapable of being a student unless I was on a lot of methamphetamines, and even then was not so great. And the best advice that I ever had when starting my school journey was that I was told to go and take a fun class. They were like, go sign up at a community college and just take one class, a pottery class, a sports class, a yoga class, something. Just see if you can even show up. And so I signed up for a golf class. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, and me and a bunch of old people learned how to golf. And I got a 4.0. And it was like this huge boost to my ego. And I was like, okay, I can fucking do this. I can show up every day at 7 o'clock in the morning, like 20 years old, and I've got a mean golf swing now. And it was a great experience. And the next thing that I was told to do was take the next class. And so since I took the smallest amount of classes possible to graduate in high school, I started at like a basic English class. And I was able to test into a particular class, but math, I tested in under college level courses. So I had to start at like 078 or something. You don't get college level until 100. It's funny to think that because now I'm taking 600 level classes, which I never thought was possible. So I just started taking one class at a time and kept doing AA. And I was really active in Wacky Paw and ASCII Paw and Valley Paw and all the paws. And I just did what my sponsor told me, and I did what you guys kept telling me to do. And people that went before me just kept guiding me. They said, don't take a full semester of classes because your AA needs to be your priority. Go and take one class at a time. You're in no rush. You're young. It's no big deal. Just learn the balance. Learn how to do homework. Because I didn't learn how to do homework in high school. I didn't know that I was capable of sitting down and actually doing homework. And it's interesting. School, I thought, was this really big deal because I made it such a big deal in high school, and junior high was really difficult for me. I tested into these really high classes, so I went to this school for like really smart people, but I struggled, and I was in tutoring the whole time. So I didn't know what I was capable of. But if you just go to class and do the assignment, then you pass the class. Like, it's really not any more complicated than that. And if it's difficult, then you read the chapter, and then you just learn about it. And they make it so that you're successful. Like, they set you up for success if you do these things. And I didn't realize that. I just thought that they were against me, and I thought that they were purposely making it really difficult. So the journey of sobriety kept going on. It kept going on, and I would take classes here and there, and I still didn't know what I wanted to be, and I was starting to learn about some hobbies that I liked and some things that I wanted to do, and I was like, well, maybe I want to be, you know, I wanted to go to, like, journalism school or something, and then I wanted to do marine biology, and at this time, I'm working as at a restaurant here and there, and I'm working as a veterinary technician, and I'm just doing random jobs. I think I worked at, one of my first jobs was Best Buy. I sold appliances. I think I worked there for about 6 months. And when I left, when I was walking out that last day, I was really bummed that they didn't make an announcement over the loudspeaker. You know, we're gonna miss you. Because at that point, everything was about me. The world revolved around me. I'm like, how is Best Buy going to survive without me there? So the years are going on, and I'm still sober, and I'm doing the deal, and I'm doing the YPA thing, and I'm living up in Seattle, and I'm going to classes, and I'm like, all right, well, maybe I want to be an ultrasonographer. So I applied to this ultrasound school, and I got all my prereqs done. And I didn't get in. The last semester before I was able to apply, I was in my very last class, biomedical ethics, and my mom passed away that summer. And I just failed the class, and so it tanked my GPA. And I'm so glad I didn't get in, because I don't think I'd want to be an ultrasonographer today. And then I was like, well, maybe I want to do paramedic. And so I tested for Phoenix Fire. I went and sat for the written exam, and I passed, and I was stoked. And then I went to go do the physical, and I was like, I'm young and thin and I'll be fine. Well, I didn't realize that you wear 60 pound weights on a stair climber for 3 or 4 minutes and how difficult that really is. So I didn't pass the physical. And so I was like, all right. So on my journey to doing what it is that I do today, what I'm trying to say is that I had a lot of doors close, and a lot of things that I thought I wanted, doors were closing. And whether that was God being like, nope, this is not the way to go, but this is good experience, you know, because we're building character right now. I kind of feel like that's what was going on. I had moved back to Arizona in 2007, and I was working as a veterinary technician, and I was making, you know, what it was, I couldn't even afford health insurance for myself. I couldn't afford a car with power windows, and I was struggling. And everyone around me kept saying, go be a nurse, go be a nurse, go be a nurse. And in my eyes, a nurse is like up here, and I'm not able, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not gonna be able to do that job. I'm a tweaker, blah, blah, blah. And I finally just started doing the prereqs, and I applied and I got in. And so I went to nursing school at Gateway Community College. And during those 2 years, my house got robbed, shit went down. I couldn't afford my bills, so I had to sell my truck. I went without a car for 6 months. I think I had 10 years sober. And I just kept doing whatever it was to follow the dream and just stay active and keep sponsoring a shit ton of people and go to meetings. And somehow I graduated, and I enrolled right away into my bachelor's degree through NAU, and I got hired onto a cardiac floor at Banner Desert. And I remember driving by Banner Desert that first year that I worked there and looking at that building and being like, holy shit, I work there. And it was just so weird, because I now hold a professional license, which I didn't think that I would ever hold, which a lot of responsibility comes with, which I didn't realize. I didn't realize that I can be held liable for things in my personal life. I am a required reporter of abuse. It's not really like a career that you have when you're just there. I'm a nurse all the time, everywhere I go. If I'm on a hike, if I'm traveling, if I'm on an airplane, I'm a nurse. That's me now. So I spent a year working on the cardiac telemetry unit, and I think the biggest lesson that I learned in that experience was anonymity. Anonymity wasn't that big of a deal for me in my first 10 years. I would scream from the rooftops that I'm sober. I would make posts all over social media. I would tell all my bosses. That way they could understand why I went to so many funerals. And I wanted to be available for the next person that needed help. And I didn't realize the effect that was going to have later on. So today, I am completely 100% anonymous within my profession. Unfortunately, the professional world, most of it does not understand drug addicts and alcoholics. There is a stigma, and me holding a license that could potentially put me into a program if they have any suspicion of me using or have a history of drug abuse, which would require me to go to meetings and have not be able to pull narcotics and hand them to patients. It also puts me at an interesting position where I am handling Dilaudid and Percocets and narcotics on the daily. And I have to stay really active and really accountable to those people in my life so that I can do that safely. and not obsess on wanting to just slip the half a Percocet in my pocket because nobody's actually watching me get rid of it. There's a two-nurse system that they check when you pull a narcotic out of this machine, and another nurse has to come and put their fingerprint on it. But never in a million years would they think that I'd be the one that would take it. So they run in the room real quick, they put their finger on it, and they're out. And I'm standing there holding like 2 milligrams of Dilaudid, and I only need 1 milligram, and it's up to me and God to put that in the, to dispose of it properly. So God's in my pocket all day at work. I've got to bring him with me everywhere I go. Otherwise, it's going to be me and the Dilaudid in the bathroom, or I'm going to be on the floor. A few times Dilaudid or all of those awesome drugs have ended up on my hands, and I have this really strange sensation of wanting to lick my fingers right away. And I don't think any other nurse that I work with has that feeling, so I immediately have to go and wash my hands. And I'm like, okay, dilemma avoided. There's other nurses in the program, and one of them got to work with me. We got to work together at Banner Desert in the ER. I spent about 4 years in the ER, so if I look familiar and you OD'd there, that might be why. I recently had to leave because too many of you guys kept coming in, and it was one thing when I didn't know you, but it was another thing when I did. I see enough death here in the rooms, and I was really able to keep the wall up when I was there. I was able to run codes and strokes and dead people all fucking day. Bloodier the better. I love it. But not when I know you. And when people that I know start rolling through, and I've seen them on the streets for years, or I've seen them in rooms, or I've seen them doing really good last week, and they come in and I'm pushing the Narcan, and I'm watching the way that the nurses are treating you, and I'm watching the way that it's going down, and it started to get to me, and I started definitely being affected, and I knew it was time to go. But in that ER, it was really fun. Her name's Leah. She gave me permission to give the shout out. We were checking in an ambo one day. An ambulance had brought in this guy, and he was spun the fuck out. And I think he might have been in restraints. I'm not sure. Probably had a spit mask, because that just is the way it goes down. And we're going through his personals because we have to go through his personals so that way security can take any weapons, guns, whatever. We find this pipe, and I'm like, and I'm naming the things off, and Leah is typing them in the computer of what the items are. And so I'm just naming all the items, forgetting that the other people in the room that work in the professional field don't know what these items are called, but I do. So I'm just naming them off. I'm naming all, and I was like, oh shit, I probably shouldn't be saying this. And I'm like, okay, crack pipe. And Leah's like, okay, crack pipe, and she types it in, and this EMT was in the room, and he's like, I'm pretty sure that's a meth pipe. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure it's a crack pipe. And I'm like trying not to, you know, like, I'm pretty sure I've seen this before. And, you know, and so the guy's like, no, it's a meth pipe for sure. And Leah's like, look, dude, she's been a nurse a long time. She's seen a lot of shit. If she says it's a crack pipe, it's a crack pipe. And I was like, okay, you know, don't need to explain to you the difference between these two paraphernalia pieces right now. And it was just so funny that we had that secret and that we were able to share that and we were able to keep our shit together through all of the horrific things that we saw. We both recently left the ER, but I'm so grateful for that experience. And I'm able to carry it with me. And it's really cool that I'm able to see people in the rooms who I got to help at their worst times. And they've come up to me, because I'm not able to go up to them. And they've come up to me and thanked me. And I just start crying. And I'm not a crier, and I for sure didn't cry at work. And it's so weird that God put me in this position to do this. And that somehow I got to stay and continue doing school and continue doing what was in front of me, even when shit hit the fan and it was really hard and I wanted to quit multiple times. I never got the best grades. I was always just C's get degrees. We're getting this shit done. Ain't nobody gonna be asking me what my GPA is. I'm not the best tester. I excel really well in the environment. You put me in the clinical standpoint, I'm gonna shine. I'm gonna learn whatever it is that I need to learn and I'm gonna do it. Get to do really cool things. I get to drill things into people's bones. I get to do ultrasounds. I get to do a lot of really neat things that I never thought was possible. I currently am in my master's classes to finish up family nurse practitioner through NAU. I figured, why the fuck not? Like, why not just keep going? And I'd really like to get my RN first assist and work in orthopedic surgery so I can fix fractures and do arthroscopic procedures and hips and things like that. And the fact that that's a goal today is nuts. That's my goal, is to get in the OR with an orthopedic surgeon so I can be a first assist and see patients postoperatively. And that pretty soon in May when I graduate, I'm going to have a DEA license and I'm going to be able to prescribe for the state of Arizona. And then I'm going to be able to provide a higher level of care to more and more people. And I'm going to be able to travel overseas and provide care for third world countries like I got to do last year and go to Haiti. I say start small and take it easy. There's no need to jump right in. It's going to take time. I have 21 years sober and I've been in school for fucking years. And it's fine. The journey has been incredible and I wouldn't trade it for anything. It definitely is not where I thought I would be when I was 21 years sober. I thought if I ever made it this long that I would for sure have a bunch of kids and I would be married and I'd be living a little white picket fence life and I was never going to go to college. And the opposite. I don't have any kids, I'm not married, and I'm kind of kicking ass out in the field and doing some really cool shit with humans that I never thought was possible. Not only being of service within the rooms, but outside of the rooms in an anonymous manner. So I wish you all the best of luck in your journeys of whatever it is you want to become. We can become whatever it is that we want. We're completely capable. Yeah, that's all I got. Thanks.